Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You know, Jeff and I are always looking to get smarter. We ask you that at the end of the show all the time. We say, why are you smarter? Well, this is one of the reasons why you're smarter for listening to the show. We love having him on the air. Man, he's got a great grip of what it's like to play here in Cleveland, at least, you know, be a member of the Browns. And then also great college career. And, of course, he knows football. And I love talking to him. He is former Browns quarterback, Josh Booty, and he is on the Fan Hotline. Josh, what's up? How are you?
Hi, Josh.
I'm doing wonderful, guys. How are you? It's always fun to be on the Fan, my man.
We love having you on. There are a million different directions I want to go. First, I got to ask you as an LSU guy, what the is going on at LSU?
A lot of slop. It's bad. You know, when you don't have a run game, The pass game suffers, and Nussmeier's having a rough go this year, but rightly so. I mean, he's in third and long a lot of times, and we've had injuries out wide. And, of course, the change now at the head coaching position in the interim, Frank Wilson walks in, and they get an off week and have to go play Bama, you know, Saturday, tomorrow. So very crazy times. The AD has changed as well this week with Verge Osbury taking on the AD position. And just a ton of stuff and turnover. And you know, of course, we don't know who's the next head coach, but I've got an idea of five or six names, as the whole world knows, probably the five or six names that's out there. And I've been doing a little research, but I think they're going to take their time and try to make the right decision. And last time when they hired Brian Kelly, they did it quickly. And it didn't turn out well. So hope it does this time.
So when you get the gig, will you still join the show? That's all I care about.
I wish. You know, my name is not on the short list, and I'm not going to Baton Rouge. I mean, I play a little bit too much golf to they would probably fire me after week one because I'd be on the golf course.
Plus, you got to watch Clemson for a couple more years here, don't you?
Exactly. They play Florida State this week in a rivalry game, but both those teams are suffering a lot like LSU is. So an unusual year for college football, to say the least.
How's your son doing? Is he hanging in? We're looking for some stats. We got to give him some stats.
He is. He's played in a couple ball games, but he's backing up. He's running twos and threes all the time. So he's got that first round receiver ahead of him at X. So maybe next year he'll get some playing time. He's a redshirt freshman. You got to pay your dues, man. And he works hard. He loves it there. He does love Dabo. But, you know, they're going to have to dip into the portal, and he's going to have to change some things there, and he knows it. So Clemson's going to look a whole lot different next year than they do this year, I would assume. And for him to keep his job, he's got to go out there in the portal and grab a bunch of guys and load up. You know, the good teams that are – the teams that are grabbing guys and loading up are the teams that are having significant seasons. So you just kind of got to look at the stats now of you know, and it's crazy because every year is a different year, and you got a different nucleus of players in your locker room. It's just it's one year at a time type deal. College football's
changed. Nothing like when you were playing. Nothing.
You know, it was a system deal, a lot like what Dabo, you know, has done over the past two decades. Is just create like value in the system with recruiting and bringing guys up and through the program. Gone are those days, and he's having to learn the hard way, but. You know, and he's such a good guy. And, you know, a lot of people don't like him because he's kind of high school Harry or college, you know, Charlie. But, man, he is freaking on it every day. And he's got to figure out a way to go, you know, dip into the portal when he wanted to stay kind of doing what he was doing, you know, when college football was different. The landscape has changed. So he's got to go out there and do some different things and try to build this thing up one year at a time again like everybody else. I got to go get some players.
Josh Booty joining us, former Browns quarterback, former Major League Baseball player. Big news here earlier in the week, Josh, and it was when Kevin Stefanski announced coming out of the bye week. And by the way, I'm going to give up play calling. Tommy Rees is going to be our play caller now. But before we get to that, in particular with Tommy Rees, does it matter if your head coach is calling the plays, if the offensive coordinator is calling the plays, especially from a quarterback standpoint?
Well, it depends on who those guys are. You know, I mean, if you've got a guy, you know, much like Shanahan or McVay, or, you know, they've had, you know, head coaches have had success recently going, winning Super Bowls, going deep into the playoffs, guys that are masterminds of offense. I mean, as a quarterback, all you want to do is feel secure about what's going on around you, right? Do you have players around you? Do you have a guy that understands how to call plays and situations? And it's a feeling that you get when you're with your offensive coordinator or head coach, whoever's calling the plays. It's that feeling that you get. It's the warm and fuzzies, right? It's I know what we're doing. I feel confident with the guy that's calling plays. It's like Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, or Bill Walsh and Steve Young. It's just a good feel. North Turner and Troy Aikman, you know, those guys, they were inseparable. And when you think of one, you think of the other. And I think that's what really helps a quarterback, is to have that guy that's like the big brother, that's always with you, that's around, that you spend so much time in the building with, getting ready for those Sunday matchups, right? And if a head coach is doing all the other stuff that he's got to do and all the responsibilities of being a head coach, and he doesn't get that quality time with that quarterback in that quarterback room, then the team suffers, because they're not on the same page, or even if they are on the same page, they're not on that ultimate page. And I think that's really where you want to get to, is having a quarterback relationship with a play caller that is just second to none.
Josh, look at the Browns situation. I mean, you got two rookies here. You got rid of your two veterans. And I know there are a lot of fans here that want to see Sanders, but I just think they didn't do Gabriel or Sanders any favors by drafting both of these guys this year. Just give me your big overall picture on the Browns, and in particular, diving into that two-rookie format that they decided to use.
Definitely tough. I mean, when I saw that Shadur was drafted, and I'm a Deion guy. I love Deion. I've been around him a lot, and he's a buddy. But when they drafted Shadur, you know, I know Dylan through my nephew General backed him up at Oklahoma. They were great friends. He went to the Heisman Trophy presentation with Dylan.
Wow.
You know, Dylan was like, wow, I wonder why they would draft a guy to be in the quarterback room right after they drafted him. So, I mean, looking over your shoulder a little bit, and then the media, of course, you know, glorifies, of course, the Shadur draft pick, you know, and his status in the national spotlight stuff. I mean, all that, it's got to be hard on Dylan. And then Shador's got to go prove himself too, because they're not paying him as much. He was a guy that maybe should have been drafted early, and people didn't want to jump in there on him. So, I mean, it's tough for both of them, to be honest. You know, Shador's not going to get the reps and first, you know, first look as well as he probably thought he was before the draft. I'm going to go in and shock the world. Well, you know, I was a sixth rounder. You don't get to shock the world if you're not on the field, you know. So it's very difficult. Dylan is a good hand. He's a gamer. We all know that. He's like a little Steve Young type of guy, a player. He plays hard, you know, scrappy. I saw some footage of both of them in warmups the other day, and I commented. I mean, they both probably need some work with their throwing motions and different things that they're doing. I was just taking a really close look at them, and I love breaking down quarterbacks, and that's kind of what I do on the side now. But you know, it's fun to watch these two progress and try to make a name for themselves at the next level. The NFL's not easy, man, and every week is such a challenge. But I think Dylan, emotionally and experience-wise, was ready for that opportunity. And Shador's been in the limelight too, and he's played in a lot of games, but I think Dylan's played in some monster games at Oklahoma and Oregon that set him up for a little bit earlier success. So we'll wait and see what happens. But I hate that both of them are having to kind of deal with each other in the locker room. And you know, that's a tough situation, man, because unless they have a good friendship, it's going to be rough every day in there, because they're both just going for it, you know, and Yeah.
What do you think Dylan needs? Like, you know, if you're sitting there and watch him, and is it what we've seen here in Cleveland so far in his, you know, limited starts that he's had, is he the Dylan that you know, or do you think he's the Dylan that's trying to figure out the NFL game and being in sync with his head coach?
Yeah, there's probably multiple reasons that he's not as, you know, you when you play at Oregon or at Oklahoma, if you've got guys around you, your team is stacked compared to most teams you play. So 95% of the time you're favored and you're rolling and you're putting up unbelievable numbers. When you get, it's kind of like a major league baseball hitter. When you get to the big leagues, you're facing the best pitchers in the world, and you might not hit 330 like you've hit in Double A or something. So I think it's just him adjusting to the NFL game, getting the ball out, you know, quick and accurate, because that's what, you know, that's what he's going to have to play to, because that's his strengths. It's, you got to play to your strengths and be on the same page, like you said, with your offensive coordinator, play caller. And I think that's where he's got to figure out, you know, he's got to get some of that experience at that level and go, okay, I can do certain things and I can't do certain things, because he's not John Elway. He's not Josh Allen. You know, he's a little guy that needs to complete balls, throw on time, be scrappy, make plays outside the pocket, be elusive when he has to. But you've got to make all the little throws. And we saw that at Oregon, but it's much easier because the cards are stacked. He's got the cards stacked in his favor. Now at Cleveland, he's got them stacked against him most of the time. So now he's got to be better than he's ever been, you know. And that's just like being a hitter in the big leagues. When you get there, you got to be better than you've ever been. And that's where he's at.
Josh, when you looked at these guys when they were in college, and obviously you knew both of them, knowing Dion and your nephew being with Dylan, did you think one was more NFL quarterback than the other?
I didn't think either one of them were quite like big time NFL guys, to be honest with you. And I like them both. I think Dylan has the makeup in terms of study habits, training, team guy, leadership, intangibles, savviness, like all this stuff that he has. I think he was more ready to probably step in like Cleveland has thought and put him in there earlier. Shadur, of course, a bigger guy, a little stronger guy, probably bigger arm. But I don't know. I haven't seen them both throw, you know, on the field at the same time. I'd love to come to a Cleveland game and just watch pregame, to be honest with you, just to see the zip on the ball and especially come in a cold weather environment when the wind's blowing, because I know how tough it is. The guys in that division who've really done well through the years are the guys with huge arms like Bradshaw and Roethlisberger and Flacco, because it is tough in December, and we're getting into into November and December, and in the second half of the year, man, a lot of these tough games. So I think it's harder to play late in the season in those cities and in Cleveland than early in the season. So now it gets harder as the season goes on. So it's going to be fun to watch. I was, of course, around when Tim Couch was there, and he had some arm problems. And man, it was hard for him to throw that out route with the arm problems because he didn't have the zip on it, and the ball would float a little bit. And I think you've got to have that. And if you can cut the wind and really let it go like Favre in Lambeau, then you've got a real chance to go deep in the playoffs. If you can't, it's going to be difficult in those cities where you're playing outdoors, and Cleveland is one of them.
Mm. All right, Josh, we know you got a roll. We always appreciate your time. Tell Parker to stay at 6 foot. If he doesn't grow anymore, he'll have a chance to play for the Browns, because we don't like wide receivers over 6 foot here. For some reason. So tell him to stay at 6 foot.
I'll tell him. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Always fun to be with y'all.
We love having you on. Thanks, Josh. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. This man needs no introduction. You know who he is. He is the pride of Northeast Ohio. We loved him when he pitched for the Indians. He does a fantastic job as the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays right now. And, of course, he hosted a Brown show at one point. He is on the fan hotline. He is Brian Anderson. BA, what's up?
Hey, by the way, fellas, me hosting that Brown show, has anyone ever been more miscast in a show, in a role in a show?
You're so wrong.
Paul D. Podesta,
so
baby.
You're so wrong.
Huh?
Oh, Jeff. Wow. Ouch.
Wow, that was a little rough.
I normally wouldn't say too soon, but holy moly.
Hi, BA.
Hello. How we doing, boys?
Well,
good. All right, so this question's been in the back of my head since Game 7 of the World Series, right? You saw Bo Bichette's home run, right?
Yep.
Dude, he stood there for 5 or 6 seconds and watched that thing leave the ballpark.
Nasty.
And should anyone have been surprised when Jimenez got hit? Although, the only reason I thought it was awesome is because it was Game 7, and they weren't going to let it go. Do you think that's why Jimenez got hit? Because I had to bring it up the next day, and they're like, I didn't really think about it. Not me, man. I was all over that.
You know, I mean, it's listen, you'd like to that's a tough one because it is a Game 7.
I know.
However, the coincidence, you know, you're in it to win that game. You can't get caught up in the emotions of it and then allow yourself to do something that you could end up obviously regretting down the road. I mean, you've got to play, you save that stuff for next year. So I would love to think that the teams that I've played on in those types of situations, I would say that it was a complete coincidence.
Oh, I don't know, man. Nine hitter, couple innings later, you're coming back. You're back.
I know, and maybe that was the case. But most of the time, you know, guys will shoot each other looks like, "Hey, now's not the time. We can deal with this next year." Remember, everybody plays everybody, so it's not like, you know, they're going to dodge the Dodgers for a couple of seasons. They're going to play next year. Now, whether that's in Toronto or L.A., you'd have to look at the schedule. They're going to play. That's when you take care of stuff like that, typically, when you're talking about a championship on the line for all time. So team I've ever played on, that would have been frowned upon, even though you feel that's the right thing to do, maybe not in a Game 7.
I don't know, man. When I'm like, all right, awesome home run. But, dude, man, you stood there for a long time and watched that thing. You know, when you saw it, when you saw him standing back there, I'm not crazy, right? I was like, oh, God, I wonder what Brian's thinking when he's watching this one.
No. You're not crazy. But you know, listen, the game has trended in that direction. You know, there is a lot more that is put up with today that would not have been when I played. I mean, and you know, old guy yelling at the clouds, fair enough. But that's how the game was played. You didn't admire like that without the idea of you can go ahead, but there are going to be repercussions. Where today, I mean, I call 150 games a year. So I've seen a lot, and I've seen a lot that I go, ooh, that would never have flown, 15 years ago. But it's a different era. It's a different game, and there's a lot more, showmanship, I guess you could say, that is in the game today than was when I played. That's just the reality of it.
BA, there were so many things that happened in the game. It was so much fun, everything else. We could talk about it forever. The one thing I really want to hear what you think, Yamamoto coming back after pitching the day before and going six and then coming back and going almost three full innings. Well, what do you think about that whole thing?
That, you know what, that's selfless, that's team first, that is, that's exactly what you want your team to be comprised of, players like that. And it's really funny because I did a show the next day, or I'm sorry, not the next day, before Game 7. And that idea came up. You know, they were talking about, you know, what do you do with, you know, Ohtani, and how do you, you know, he's got to start, right? Because if he doesn't start, he comes in the game later. You lose the DA, you know, all the different ramifications of when you're going to use Ohtani on the mound, if you're going to use Ohtani on the mound. And it got me thinking about my, our Game 7 with the Diamondbacks. And, you know, Randy Johnson, remember, he started Game 6, and we blew the Yankees out that game, but he went 7 innings and was over 100 pitches. I'm not sure how far over, but he was over 100. Seven innings, 100-plus pitches. And then, of course, in Game 7, who comes in to get the final four outs, to end up, shutting down the victory that we had, in Game 7, the comeback win? Randy Johnson. He comes back in the very next day and goes an inning in the third, which was all he was asked to do. I'm sure if he had to go longer, he would have. Same kind of a idea. These guys, they understand that you maybe not in the Dodgers case, but certainly it could be any team, because that was the first repeat, World Series champion since we knocked off the Yankees in 01. That was the year the Yankees were going for four in a row, and we knocked them off in 01. There had not been a repeat champion since then. In the previous 24 seasons before this year, there were 16 different champions. Out of the 24 years. Now, like Boston, I think won four times, but never back to back. The Giants won those three, but it was every other year. And so guys realize I may only get one shot at this. This might be it. And so they're willing to do whatever it takes. You know what? You want to be sore. You want to be tired. Be tired in the off season. By the way, that off season starts in about 20 minutes. So, you get guys that sell out and do things like that. And it's just, it's awesome. It's awesome. Stuff you would never see in the regular season. Guys go above and beyond when that championship is on the line. So to see him come out and do what he did, it reminded me of Randy in 01, and that's just what championship teams and championship players do.
That's really cool. Brian Anderson joining us. As I watched the series, and I'm probably misguided on this, I kept thinking, the Guardians aren't as far away maybe as we thought they are, because of the young rotation, strong bullpen, which they've had and they continue to always have. And I thought, I hate the offense, but if they can find, and don't yell at me, BA, if they can find three bats, this team could maybe make some noise next year. Are they close in your estimation, or am I hallucinating, or is three bats way too much to ask for?
Well, I was going to say this. If your conclusion is they need three bats, then they're not close.
Okay. All right.
Finding three bats is finding a bat is a big deal.
I mean, you could swing it at Geneva, man. Come on.
Well, listen, Yeah, I could swing it at Geneva, and I swung it a little bit at Wright State, and I hit about $140 in the big leagues. So I don't think, and that's with having a pretty good idea every at bat what I was going to get. I always marvel at these superstar hitters, guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Shohei Ohtani, just go right down the list, that they go up there. Now, do they have an idea of how a particular pitcher might attack them? Sure they do. But if you're a pitcher in the National League, like I was, going up to at bat, how many guys are going to be ripping off sliders, curveballs, and splits to me right out of the gate? I know I'm going to see fastballs. So I have a pretty good idea what I'm going to see, and I'm still not getting a whole lot done with it. And then I think about these guys who have no idea what the sequence is going to be each and every at bat, although a lot of times they do because of past history, scouting reports, all that stuff. But they're getting every trick in the book thrown at them, and they're still hitting 300, driving in 100, hitting 35, 40 homers. It blows my mind that they can do that, facing pitching that they don't know what's coming, where back when I played, I had a real good idea that the first pitch is going to be a fastball. I mean, not always. I saw some wrinkles here and there and some splits, and that's fine. But for the most part, you had a pretty good idea what was coming, and you're still hitting the .130. So, it kind of blows you away, but it was a great series. I think that it does give teams hope, because I don't think anybody at the beginning of the year, I know the Blue Jays always have high expectations, but they always have seemed to underperform. But this year they had a different mix. You think about a guy like Addison Barger. You think about Varsho, his defense, scrappiness in center field. What about Ernie Clement, former Clevelander,
yep.
Look what he was able to do. This team did a great job of, they had their star power, Guerrero Jr., they have all those guys, but they put the ball in play better than anybody in Major League Baseball. They had competitive at-bats. They did the little things. They played scrappy, and quite frankly, in my opinion, they played the perfect series to knock off the Dodgers. And still couldn't do it. Yeah. And still couldn't do it. That's the thing. They could not have played that series much better, much cleaner than they did. And it still wasn't enough against that juggernaut from out west.
Let me throw this one at you. Let's change gears to the Browns for a second. Will the Browns offense look any better with Tommy Rees calling the plays over Kevin Stefanski? Your thoughts on that?
I'm interested to see. I am not holding out any shred of hope at all. The offense is to watch it is painful. It's painful. You know, Dylan Gabriel, again, all I see are 6-yard curls, 6-yard outs, swing passes, tunnel screens. There's nothing down the field at all. There's not a real threat down the field. He doesn't have a lot of time to go down the field. I don't know. It's abysmal watching that offense. I do like watching the young running backs when they touch the football because they can make some special things happen. But when you've got an offense that cannot stretch the field at all, they cannot stretch the field. How easy is that for a defensive coordinator? He can almost play his normal defense as if it was a goal line defense. You know, when you get down to the goal line, yes, guess what? The passing windows get a little tighter because these defenders don't have to cover over their head. Everything is condensed and it's right in front of them. Well, that's how you could play the Browns offense anywhere on the field. So it makes it real tough. It makes it real tough because nobody, there's not a defensive coordinator in the country that is afraid of the Browns beating them over the top, taking the lid off, whatever the catchphrase is of today. They don't do it. They can't do it. So they become very, very easy to defend. And it's awful to watch.
All right, so three bats means you're not close and you don't like Tommy Rees and that whole thing. Thanks, B.A.
Time out. I'm not saying I don't like him. I will be really interested to see what changes, if anything, but I think that what we've seen, since Dylan Gabriel has taken over, you've seen everything's up in front. Meanwhile, I flip over to the Bengals game, and granted, they're playing touch football on the other side of the field, but Joe Flacco is just lighting people. It's 470 yards last week.
470.
470.
Yeah.
470. And I watched that game, and he's making those stupid throws that he made in Cleveland that you're like, I mean, just unbelievable. Now, like I said, the defense is killing him. That Cincinnati defense is, again, I've watched their games since he's taken over at quarterback, and that defense is abysmal. And it's obviously cost them a couple of wins. They scored 80-plus points in the last two games, and they've lost both of them.
That's not good.
That's tough to do.
Yeah.
That's tough to do.
All righty, B.A., thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, good buddy.
Yeah. By the way, do you like the Browns over the Jets this week or no?
Oh, please. They have to win.
Yes, they do.
I do. I think they're going to win.
Okay.
They're going to win.
All right, well,
they're
going to
win. They'll get that third win. We'll see where they take it from there. But yes, I have them beating the Jets.
Very good. Very good, my friend. Goodbye, Brian. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Thanks, Brian.
All right.
Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, breaking it all down with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ohio State plays Purdue. That game is tomorrow at 1. We'll talk about it coming up in an hour with Tim May. That's right after Two Keys and a Lock, where we'll give you Two Keys and a Lock to the Browns game coming up on Sunday. Don't forget Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up at 1 o'clock. And then we will do quick predicts at 1:40, where you will tell us the score of the Browns game against the Jets on Sunday and then give us Monday morning's headline. When we went to break, Jeff, I asked you the question I think that is on Browns fans' minds right now. Look, Jets.
What was it?
The Jets made two major trades off their defense. The Browns changed their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Will the
play
offense
caller, play caller?
Play caller. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. No, same coordinator. Play caller change. Will the Browns offense look any better than 15 point whatever points per game?
Yes.
Will they score more than 15 points per game?
Yes.
just this week, or do you feel the long-term health?
Now, don't get carried away now.
Do you think the long-term health of the offense has improved by the change in play calling?
No. I don't think that, but maybe they can show us that it has.
What will we see that's different?
I don't know.
Just guess. Just have fun. We're here for 4 hours.
Fewer passes and more runs.
You think they'll run the ball more?
Yes.
Hmm. It's an interesting. I actually think they'll.
I answered yes to your first two questions.
Yeah.
Because the Jets stink and they traded Williams and Gardner.
Yeah.
That's why I said yes.
Okay.
It had everything to do with the opponent and not anything to do with the Browns.
We're also talking about, what, a one-win team and a two-win team. Like, what drives...
Yeah, Bubba, here we go.
If you were not afflicted with the sickness of being called a Browns fan, yeah, would you be watching this game on Sunday?
Well, no. There would be other options.
You wouldn't. I mean, I'm a Browns fan.
I'll watch every time they play.
Yeah, I watch every Browns game like it's Super Bowl because I'm just happy they're out on the field. I want them to win every game.
Of course you do.
But
so
do I. I mean, and that, whether we had this job or not, or we're sitting here or not. Dan, first of all, first question. Will the offense look different Sunday?
No, you're rearranging chairs on the Titanic. This is rearranging deck chairs.
We know where this is going.
At least there'll be plenty of ice for your martini.
Yeah,
right?
Plenty of ice. Exactly. Plenty of ice for the martini.
And it was funny.
The orchestra will sound fantastic until you hit the ice for the martini. But yeah, you're just rearranging deck chairs. None of the players change. It's not like you can look at any of these guys.
You do get Tillman back. I'll give you one guy. That's it.
Could we change the players by changing the approach? Okay, you just said Tillman comes back.
Yeah.
Okay. Could we see a lot of Malachi Corley? Could we see the Browns treat Jerry Jeudy like the Bengals treat Jamar Chase? We're throwing it to you 15 times. Let's go. Dan, you're laughing, but I mean,
laughing.
Well, but those are the only.
You hear these names?
But Dan, those are the only options we have.
I know, which is why you're just rearranging deck chairs.
Well, no, because. Which might be okay because, for instance, and I don't know, we haven't seen Malachi Corley get a ball thrown to him. Okay?
Okay, so let me ask
maybe,
you.
Maybe we throw the ball to the guy.
Why?
Maybe Tommy Rees knows how to get Isaiah Bond the ball where he can do something after the catch.
So, like, not off the side of his head?
Well, there's that can be frowned upon in certain situations, yes.
That's the problem.
But you know what I'm saying here.
Right, but maybe your go-to is Malachi Corley. God help you.
Remember what he talked... Well, again, who knows? My only thought is, does he bring a little different approach than Kevin did and maybe accentuate the skill sets of some of the other guys that maybe Kevin didn't?
So what
I'm just looking for something that might be different. I'm with you.
I also think that what you're asking, not a big deal, that... You're trying to unlock things that may be locked. That's what I'm saying. You're saying that maybe before this didn't work, maybe it will now. In third down and six, Kevin was, you know, hell bent on getting the ball to Fannin or Ninjoku because he's seen it work time and time again. Where Rees may say to himself, you know what? Let's throw it out to the flat and throw a couple blockers in front of him and see if that works better on third down and six than having third down inefficiencies.
Or send Bond on a fly pattern, just send him deep, cut to the post. Let's see what you get.
Or maybe you think, maybe you have these conversations where you're watching in practice every day and Kevin has one perception of, and I'm going to give you Malachi Corley, your guy, right? Maybe Kevin had one perception of Malachi Corley and Rees had a different. And Rees is sitting here going, man, if I just had a chance to get Corley in the game a little bit more, maybe I could do some. I know it's a long shot, but I also think that if you are rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, that could be the only reason why you would mix it up. Or you're saying to yourself, okay, I've watched Jamari Thrash. He's open a lot. I think we should have made him the primary receiver instead of the third receiver on this play. Dylan's having trouble reading progressions to this or sees this really well. And maybe we're not plugging in the right. We're trying to use a lightning charger when it's the USB, the mini USB charger. You know what I'm saying? That's about it. You still need a charge, But the question is what kind of plug are you going to put on the end? And the only way you rearrange the deck is by rethinking what you actually have on offense without any hope of maybe saying that it's going to be successful or not. That's the point.
And again, I say Malachi Corley only because he's here.
Yeah, no, I get it. I was looking for an example, too. Yeah.
I don't know if Malachi can be a good wide receiver in the NFL. He was great at Western Kentucky. What's that get you? Drafted in the third round. So that doesn't mean anything. But he's here. Isaiah Bond is here. Maybe a different approach when it comes to calling plays puts these guys in positions where they might be able to make something happen. That's my only thought. Again, I'm if there's one wide receiver who I think, all right, this guy might be able to really become something, it's Cedric Tillman to me. And the fact that he's back, man, my fingers are crossed that he stays healthy because he seems like a great kid, and we've seen him actually play well when Jameis was quarterback here. He looked really good when Jameis was the QB.
My other thought process here, too, and something you brought up,
thought
Jeff.
Thought process?
Yes, my thought
process. Is that like being a thought partner?
Yeah, so the left side of my brain's talking to the right side, but I don't know. They
Paul's
get mad at each other.
Incredible thought partner.
Yeah.
Will they run the ball more? You brought this up before. Will they run the ball more? Will they pass the ball more? And I always find
they can't
like...
pass it anymore. It's more than any team in the NFL. Good Lord, please no.
Jeff? Will they run the ball more? That's the next question. There are some offensive sets that I mean, depending on his health, when Aiden Huntington's out there and they throw him in at fullback or they throw one of the big uglies in, I love those short yardage runs when they throw those guys in to block.
Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I know.
I know what you're talking about, and I get it.
I mean, you're not going to do that on first and 10 from your own 35-yard line. I get it. I understand that. I just... Will the pattern of throw run change this week? Or the issue I have with this whole conversation is because once they get down two touchdowns and it gets into the third quarter, like they tend to go away from everything they've if you're down 14, you're gonna have to get the points back. But like they abandon the run. Sometimes I wonder if they're abandoning it at the right time. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
You see where I'm awkward on
that. Yeah, so let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
I don't think you have the talent on the offense to give me a good answer to what I'm just going to say.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to answer my own question. Okay. I don't think they have the talent for this yet. Does this team have an offensive identity?
The closest thing they have to an identity is Judkins when he's effective. Or, and I know you probably don't want to hear this, Fannin. I mean, he gives them a little bit of an identity as a guy who can take a medium-range pass or a short-range pass and drift it out for another 5 or 6 yards because he's a bull. And I would be scared to death of him on the other side of the line. He just drags guys with him. I love watching him play. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the tiny bit of an identity I think they have.
You're higher on Harold's early work than I am. And I like him. I do like him.
Jeff, there's nothing else to be excited about.
Well, I'm not going to create excitement if it's not there. I think he has a fine career ahead of him, and I think he could be a really good player. But you're a little higher on what he's done so far in this offense than I am.
Read the room. Who's better? I'm not who's better. Who's closer to the truth, Jeff or me?
When it comes to Harold Fannin?
Yeah. You want to say, Jeff, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
Oh, I know. We hurt each other's feelings all the time.
That's true.
I don't even know if I have those anymore.
I said I needed preparation H to sit next to him for this.
This isn't self-esteem camp. I learned that long ago. I think the truth is somewhere.
Hey, listen, Dan, you're just big boned. It's okay. It's okay.
Wow. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle of you two.
Ugh.
I really do.
So there are three different opinions. There you go.
So
I think the potential's there. I think he's done a nice job. But the question I have.
Yeah. I think he's an 8. Jeff thinks he's a 3, and you think he's a 5, 6.
See, now that's not true.
Or a 6, 7.
No, we're not going down that road.
Okay.
That's not true. What do you think he is? It's not even that, Andy.
I'm asking, what do you think he is?
No, I think he's... You're missing my point.
Okay.
I think he's good. And I think he could become really good. You were talking about what he's done so far.
No, you said, do they have an identity? And I said, well, this is the little bit of an identity I think they have.
Okay, I don't. When I think of identity, I don't think of Harold at all.
If I was a defensive coordinator and I had to worry about things about the Browns' offense, I'd be like, man, we got to stop Judkins from getting the second kick. And Fannin's really the only guy that has been able to eat up some yards other than Njoku, but we expect it from Njoku.
I'd like to think it's Judkins, but they're throwing the ball more than any team in the NFL.
I want to see what Harold Fannin would do if this team actually had some kind of a deep threat.
There you go.
To where you wouldn't have the safeties creeping up and the linebackers creeping up and just waiting for the 6-yard out pass or the 6-yard drop off to him, that he could actually make some noise.
Anybody think they have an identity? Talk about that. We'll do two keys in a lock. We'll talk to Tim May. Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up. Quick predicts. All those things are on the menu for you. Coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.